know that 70% of what is thrown away in an office is recyclable? And that in grocery stores and restaurants, more like 80% is recyclable or compostable? So why do so few businesses actually choose to recycle? That's what we'll be talking about next and highlighting one business that's on a mission to change all that. Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy, darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. And as always, a big thanks to the sponsor for this show and a great Mrs. Green's world partner, the City of Tucson's Department of Environmental Services. Their mission is to promote a healthy Tucson community by providing innovative and effective waste management and environmental protection services. And trust me when I say I can attest to that. I have been to the landfill, so I know a lot of what's going on. With me for this hour to talk about making the business case for recycling and this model partnership, and to talk trash, to talk recycling and composting, are two people who know quite a bit about all of that. Please join me in welcoming Christina Palsgrove, Public Information Officer with the City of Tucson Department of Environmental Services, and Todd Hanley, major champion of all things green and sustainable, who also happens to be the general manager of Hotel Congress and Maynard's, located in the heart of downtown Tucson. Welcome to both of you, and thanks for being on our show.
Thank you for having us.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Gina.
I know. And really, we're going to have some libations here without you, Todd, so you have to make it to the studio next time.
Okay. I'm having libations right now. I'm working the Hotel Congress. That's the one thing we have plenty of.
You're never far away. And some darn good libations at that. So
exactly.
Okay, so let me start with two rather startling statistics that I just wrote about in an article I'm doing for the newsletter. And I really did just write about it this morning about the health of the oceans. And it is relevant. More than 8 million tons of plastic are dumped into our oceans every year. And an estimated 80% of marine litter makes its way there. This is why I thought it was so relevant. From land-based sources, including things far inland via storm drains, sewers, and other routes. And we kind of knew that, but 80%. So if you're thinking that, oh, it's not me, not a problem, I'm not polluting the oceans, think again. But that gives us kind of a context for what we're going to be talking about that's so relevant and important, not just from a local and do the right thing perspective, but from the health of our oceans and the planet, like we're all connected. And before we dive into the partnership, Christina, you're a return guest. We're feeling almost too comfortable having you here and not checking all the bells and whistles, but I think we'll be good. Tell us a little bit about your job, because we always get new listeners, and then I want to ask Todd about what his scope of work is at the heart of Tucson's happen in place.
Well, I work with Environmental and General Services, and the services we provide to City of Tucson residents that they're most familiar with are the trash and recycling collection, HHW, brush and bulky pickup. But we also provide services to commercial businesses, as well as operate the landfill, and then we monitor groundwater protection at old landfill sites. And my job is to let people know about that, make sure that they're informed.
And, you know, you really did bug me consistently to go to the landfill. And there were all these reasons why I didn't, and blah, blah, blah. And then I finally did. And, of course, I was one of the first ones to get there and the last ones to leave, because it's fascinating. And everything you just said makes so much more sense to me now, because just on that big property alone, there are so many moving parts about what you have to be responsible for it with toxic waste and the groundwater and where who goes what and where and which truck goes in what entrance. I mean, it was a logistical nightmare, but all being managed so well. And I did a video and I want to go back and learn more. I mean, who wants to go back to the landfill? Me. So that makes me a little odd.
Well, I'm glad you went, because I think it's important for people who are interested in sustainability and what we can do to not only see what we're doing at the recycling facility that we take our materials, but also to see what's happening at the landfill, because as you saw, there's so much there that could have been recycled.
Oh my gosh, I was nuts. I jumped out of the car and I said, that could have gone to Goodwill, that could have gone to Have a Store, that could have gone to Rise. And popping out of my head, people just throw things in the garbage. And it made me really sad and then inspired to see what we can do to change that. So Todd, tell us a little bit, you know, we have listeners from all over the place, and I have dubbed you the king of green at what I also call the heart of downtown. I mean, Congress and Maynard's and the Cup and Maynard's Market, they're like the epicenter to me. It's where I like to hang out. It's where a lot of people like to hang out. So what's your job on those monolithic properties?
Well, I would say I am probably best known as the general manager. So I'm the person that tries to manage the 230 plus employees and whatever. I think I have, you know, 17 or 19 managers. So I'm general manager. I have a little bit of ownership interest at Maynard's Marketing Kitchen, but you're right. We are the epicenter of downtown. I would say on many levels, the epicenter of Tucson. I don't know if I'm the king of green, but I'm working towards it. So I'm kind of like the jester, maybe progressing towards a prince.
Yeah, maybe your coronation is not for a year yet.
Yeah, well, I got some work to do. I mean, it's funny because, I mean, on a serious note, the awareness for me of recycling and sustainable business efforts is probably half the battle, because if you aren't aware, you are definitely not going to execute. And so my awareness continues to kind of become enlightened on a daily basis. And so, yes, I hope to aspire to, on many levels, be the king in the eyes of the community, not just you, Gina, because I have you wrapped around my finger on many levels, right?
No doubt about it.
Because I have darn good libations and darn good sandwiches and salads.
Don't forget the chocolate pudding.
Yeah, there you go. Good point. Yeah, those fresh pastries and desserts are a little. So, yeah, so I mean, that's me. Nothing really special or fancy, just working hard and trying to make a difference in Tucson and in particular downtown and obviously more in particular in people's awareness and execution of business sustainability best practices.
And you've got some great team members that are certainly on board wholeheartedly with you. But let's talk about, give people a sense, if they haven't been there, my first question would be, are you kidding? Why not? But you have a hotel, entertainment venues, three places to eat, outside area, constantly having concerts, blah, 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 blah. So for businesses that are looking for ways to reduce their carbon footprint and increase their sustainability efforts, how hard was it to get on board with just a rigorous recycling program?
I would say, based upon, you know, the time of the day and you know, the volume of the business, it's pretty easy. But as it becomes essentially a party of sorts at night, it becomes a little bit difficult. But we have a pretty, you know, very, I shouldn't say pretty, we have a very engaged staff that really gets it, understands that what they do is probably more important than what I tell them to do. You know, so they're owning the element of sustainability. It took me a little bit of cracking the whip to make sure that we were composting a little bit more regularly, because but that literally was a week of just reminding them, and then muscle memory took over.
Right.
So I would say overall pretty easy. Now, for me, we're probably just on the tip of the iceberg for what we can do as a business. So the next steps are probably the more difficult ones that we hope to tackle in the summertime around, you know, the elements of truly just recycling. I think we have a long ways to go in trying to impact our recycling efforts around plastic and glass in particular. So,
well, you know,
but everything is a process.
Everything is a process. And you guys keep at it, which is what I love. And Christina, I'm curious about how many businesses in Tucson actually recycle, or businesses in general. Do you have information on that?
Well, I have information about the businesses that we provide services to. And of the 3,500 businesses that we provide service to, only about 10% of those choose to recycle.
Did you?
Oh, my goodness.
10%. Wow. Like, that's disgusting. And I'm sorry. That's really terrible.
No, that's, I mean, better choice of words.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't even make it.
It's appalling to me.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I'm shocked at that. And we are
but
a city.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I was just making some notes as Christine was talking about the landfill. Again, it goes back to the awareness. I think, you know, what we can always do a significantly better job is creating awareness, and that's the resources to communicate, to market, to just reach out to. And so I don't know if that's something that's of a possibility, but that just seems like a pretty foolishly low number on many levels, because recycling is more cost effective than putting trash in the landfill.
And maybe why that's so appalling to us, to the three of us, is we have Sustainable Tucson. We're a city of gastronomy, which in part has to do with sustainability, right? We have the Sustainable Living Forum. It's the home of Mrs. Green's World. I mean, no joking. There's so many movements and leadership to make a difference and to be known for our sustainable practices and more solar, and the beat goes on. That number floored me. I think it's really pretty sad.
So, I mean, could I ask a question? Or maybe,
yes.
So would it be possible to simply, in the process of invoicing those said 30,000, 3,500 businesses, add a simple, you know, frequently asked questions element to that invoice to start to communicate to the community? I mean, to me, again, there's no real compelling reason why you wouldn't want to do at least a little bit, whether or not it's plastic or cardboard or glass or all three.
It's or paper, like that.
Paper, thank you, sorry. Interesting.
I think there's some really obvious things that businesses have been doing for a long time, like the bigger retailers. If you drive behind any of them, you're going to see cardboard bundled up.
Right,
and,
sure.
And that's all being recycled. I think what becomes more challenging is the businesses that are like offices, because oftentimes they're in a larger property and there may be only one of, you know, 10 or 20 businesses within the property, and the property manager has to choose what services they're going to provide.
So if you're renting an office, it's not even offered as a service.
It may be, it may not.
May not be.
You know,
okay.
I mean, it just depends. And, you know, with the food cycle program, which Hotel Congress and Maynard's are part of, we offer food scrap collection. And again, we've been very fortunate that some of the larger businesses, grocery stores like the Bash's line, Fry's, have all been really big participants in that, as well as smaller businesses like Hotel Congress and Maynard's. But when you think about how many restaurants there are in Tucson,
it's another minuscule, disappointing, depressing statistics. Like, I better pump up my volume and get on knocking doors, because I would think, and Todd, you can speak to this, I do not understand why businesses wouldn't recycle paper and plastic and all that. It's a matter of having an extra garbage can and then having it picked up, and we'll get into maybe what the costs are. But I would think food waste recycling is a big fat pain. You know, I was a waitress, you know, about a half a century ago, and that's a pain. You have to have your wait staff aware of it. You have to have your cooks, your chefs. I mean, everybody has to be aware of the food waste thing. So,
well,
what do you do down there? You've got a lot of kitchens.
You know, I think it's, I mean, certain elements of food waste are just impossible to compost because they won't work well with the whole, I mean, I'm not, you know, going to speak too well to this, but basically all it is, let me boil it down to, is making sure your cooks and prep cooks can,
got it,
as opposed to throwing the scraps of the asparagus or the broccoli or the eggshells away, they put it in a compost. And then the service staff, what we do and recycle it a lot of, which is great for the soil, is the coffee ground. So it's not, it really isn't that complex. It is actually very basic. So for those of you that are listening, it's having a green Slim Jim. It's basically a trash can next to your prep cooks, next to your chefs doing chef prep. Your line cooks during the middle of service, yes, that's too much to ask because they're just working on food execution and quality. But I mean, we can, you know, on a weekly basis compost or send to the compost 400 to 500 pounds of food waste. I mean, that's just a no-brainer.
And that's, so that's one simple. That's all pre-consumer food waste, which is it's a huge component.
Yeah.
So the peel.
Thank you. That's a good quality.
The outside of the onion, like you said, all of that stuff. Okay, so it's mind-boggling to me. So then, it is an extra step, but they do it, and I know they're constantly reminded at all the properties there. And then what happens? Tell us about the food cycle program, Christina. I think a big piece of that is you make it easy on that end, I hope.
The food cycle program is one that started as a pilot. We went into a partnership with the University of Arizona student group, the Compost Cats, and they had actually started this business, and they were picking up food scraps from restaurants and businesses right around the university and composting them, and it grew, and they were able to get more customers than they could really efficiently service. And so we kind of stepped in. We took over the collection end of things, you know, bought the equipment for the businesses. And then they, in partnership with the San Javier Co-op Farm, run the composting part of it. And it's a triple partnership because San Javier has been great.
Yeah,
it's an excellent program.
And when we've had the kids from the comp kids, of course, I always qualify for me, that's anyone under 30, now maybe 40. But the students are so passionate. And again, man, I went out there with a whole group of people from Hotel Congress on a day that was not exceptionally cool. So we decided our next road trip will be like in November. But it is a massive operation and labor intensive. And then, of course, San Javier or co-property owners, they're the property owners right over there. But it's really a concerted effort and true example of a partnership. I mean, it works. It really works.
Fantastic. I mean, you can speak to it because I'm the pre-consumer compost, food waste provider, producer. And they made it very easy on us. They came and approached us, gave us a presentation, what we can compost, what we can't compost, and it's been a home run. I mean, it's a grand slam on many levels. And for me, I guess what I would love to see take place is, even a farther reaching collaboration and partnership with that compost, not just the San Javier Co-op and their farm, and they do amazing things, but start to look at incorporating some of these TUSD gardens and utilizing the compost, because again, it's about, for me, the awareness and outreach. So if you connect more dots, all of a sudden we can start to produce even larger amounts of compost, which I believe, not knowing the business model of them, would make it more scalable for them to provide opportunities for, again, this getting that compost into a place where it can service the community, and the community gardens is I believe an obvious next step. But anyways, I'm just,
which are really growing. I mean, that's one beautiful
thing.
That's one of the things that's why I'm so stuck on that 10% number. It's because I live in a world of conscious people, and I went to Mission Gardens the other day and I was blown away, and Flowers and Bullets just got a big grant from the Howery Foundation. And I live in that world of possibility and good things happening. The 2030 district, I mean, the beat goes on. So I think everybody's living the life that we're all living.
And I think that for people, whether you're a resident recycling at home or a business and you want to reduce your carbon footprint and you care about the environment, recycling is probably one of the simplest things you can do.
It is so easy. It is so easy. I want to remind everybody too, and I said this, I was keeping this kind of towards the end, the first R is reduce. So the best thing you can do is reduce the waste that you have, which is also important. And a lot of the food industry that gets on board with this, like I'm on the board of the National Food Recovery Network, they start realizing that if they are more conscious of the amount of food waste they're producing, they stop producing as much, because that means they're wasting less. So everybody wins. They save money, and we save all of those other steps. Christina, talk to us about cost. Do you think that's a deterrent? How much does it cost to have your food scraps picked up? And the second part to that question, is there a point at which it doesn't make sense for a restaurant or a business that has food waste? At what point do you say to them, this is a good idea, yes, you should be doing it?
The cost for the food scrap collection is pretty low. It really is. And it's going to be in addition to your trash or your recycling collection. I believe, I want to say it's for one pickup a week, it's $20.
It's $40 a month and I get twice a week. So, I mean, there you go.
People, are you listening? Is any restaurant owner out there? I want to make sure. That is nothing.
We all know margins in the restaurant are non-existent on many, many levels. But for $20 or $40 a month, I mean, to be quite frank with you, I believe we have to get to the point where we provide it as a complimentary service. But that business model, that's not something I can speak to. But if we are providing a product that can then provide another product, I think it's an excuse. It's not a deterrent. It's an excuse because at the end of the day, you know, unless you're, well, anyways, $40 or $20 a month, I mean, we don't need to break that down into pennies.
No, even if you said like $150, I would understand why that's a deterrent. But $40 for twice a week pickup, I mean, it can't be. It can't be cost. Lack of awareness.
I think it's just truly lack of awareness because, again, sometimes it's just hard. I mean, to crack the nut of small, small restaurants that are truly mom and pop. You have to get in front of them. You have to, you know, translate the information to a multitude of different languages. I believe that's where you have to start. And again, I think you have a captive audience with people receiving your invoices on a monthly basis. But again, that's a cost to the city in terms of putting it in the envelope. But if we're looking to really make a difference, I mean, you have to scale this up to, you know, 30-40% of your restaurants need to be recycling. You know, 30-40% of your restaurants need to be, you know, food cycling.
And no, I mean, kidding.
That set the mark, set the strategic plan, and get after it.
And for businesses that don't have any food production involved, is most of their waste paper? That's what I would think. Is most of their waste would be paper. What else would they have? Plastic bottles, maybe aluminum
cans.
In an
office, 70% of what people throw away is recyclable. So, it's cardboard, it's file folders, it's white paper, plastic bottles, aluminum cans, very, very little that's truly garbage.
So I have this little recycling bin next to my desk. That's how hard it is. It's one little basket. I open the mail. I put the envelopes in it. You know, whatever I'm doing, I take the paper and put it in there. You're not even aware of it. It's not like you have to walk 6 miles away. And I'll talk about Chapman for a minute, one of my other Green Team clients. They ordered recycling bins for paper under every one of their desks. But the first thing they did was look at their paper processes to see if those could be reduced. And they saved tons of money with the efficiency of developing new paper processes. Do you know anything about that, Christina? Because that was a big R reduction.
One of the statistics I sent over to you in preparation was that 30% of every print job that's sent to a printer in an office never gets picked up.
Like, what's up with that? I don't get that.
So quick print, if I send over...
No, I'm saying in your office, you send something to a printer. Like in my office, there's several printers that many, many people use. And you shoot it off to the printer, but, you know, maybe on your way to pick it up, you get waylaid and you never get to the printer to pick it up.
So that's what we're talking about. 30% sits there? That's another appalling statistic. I mean, we are on a mission, the three of us.
We track that Mrs. Green, it's around 10% at the Hotel Congress and Maynard's Marketing Kitchen. We're more effective and efficient in that approach.
Yeah, so 10% instead
of... I'm just kidding. We don't track that.
Instead of 70%. But if you, I don't think you have a lot of paper sitting around on your copiers that doesn't get picked up, do you?
No.
I mean,
maybe I'm ignorant to that, but it seems like a little bit of a high number. But anyways, that's in just another kind of...
Well, if you think about it, though... I know that when I've worked in other offices, we'll pull those print jobs, especially the ones that were on one side, and use that paper for, you know, scrap or something, because
totally.
it is an easy way to reuse it. And, of course, if you have the ability to print on both sides, that's a huge savings.
Yeah.
And if I... Go ahead.
We default our copier, scanner, fax, printer to two-sided. Just because it's obviously, I mean, you don't need two pieces of paper to do a two-sided print job. You just have it front and back. And that's just an easy cost reduction in paper purchases, as well as obviously, you know, the impact of the environment. So that's something your IT people can do, or, I mean, and somebody with any degree of IT knowledge can default that on their settings on their computer.
It's and the real. Thing is, I always like to make the case for it saves money. When Chapman totally. Looked at their processing, they cut down big time on the amount of paper they were using, redid some of their, you know, the process for car business, lots of paper. And then the other thing is, when we did a cost study analysis for plastic water bottle use, the average employee there was using 5 bottles of water a day. So it was a huge buy. You know, it was a number because they gave out free bottles, you know, to the
Tell
customers.
Chapman, they stopped sending the consumer to the manager, you know, that whole dog and pony show with sale. I'm just kidding. You know, hey, can I get you a bottle of water while I go talk to my manager?
That's a story.
No, just give
for
me the best
day.
Price and let me get the deal done.
Yeah. What they do now is they give out, in some of their dealerships, they actually give them a reusable bottle, or they had a bunch of water stations, sparklets put in with paper cups, which is still better than plastic bottles. So we only have about 3 minutes left. Todd, I asked Christina if I could just let you, you know, kind of toot your horn a little bit about the efforts of Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market, because I think it's important for other businesses to know what is possible when you have such different lines of business. You are a restaurant, and like I said, an entertainment venue and a wedding reception venue and all of those things, but you're doing a lot to move the green, you know, green needle forward and reduce your carbon footprint. So can you just quickly highlight a couple of those?
Because
if
can.
You can't,
sure.
I can.
I mean, real quick, we installed solar hot water, so, 3 years ago in conjunction with Southwest Gas and TEP. That's been 35-40% decrease in our energy annually. We're going to actually increase the efficiency of that by replumbing our system this summer. It'll be even more effective. I don't have the percentage, but it's going to be a lot more efficient. We've been using an EcoBlue urinal cube for the last 10 years. Waterless urinals in the men's troughs are huge for us because we're a nightclub, a live
right.
music
band. Right.
So millions of gallons of water saved. We partnered again with TEP. We use mini splits in the hotel rooms to effectively cool and or, you know, not very often, but effectively heat, most often cool the rooms, and only when the rooms are going to be rented. A couple fun things we've done that I think anybody that's in the restaurant business can do is the One Less Straw initiative. Just don't offer a straw. You know, let the guest know that we're making an attempt to reduce straws. I mean, the number is so unbelievably off the charts. Even McDonald's and some of these larger franchises are taking note of the fact that straws are just completely ridiculous. So we converted all of our throwaway cups to 100% post-consumer waste recycled. So anything we, you know, use that's considered to be, you know, a one use for cups is that compostable stuff. I mean, we have a company out of Phoenix. Again, if you're you serving water out of your restaurant or even your fast casual place. There's a recycling company that repurposes wine glasses into fun water glasses called Refresh.
Refresh,
really
glass,
cool,
and they're cool,
really cool,
really
stuff.
Cool.
You connected us on that. I had mentioned the 400 to 500 pounds of organic waste a week to the University of Arizona Compost Cats. So we're working on this summer, probably going to be installing dispensing system into the hotel rooms to eliminate small plastic bottles of lotion and shampoo. We use a company called Clean the World, which takes all of the extra shampoo,
right,
soap, conditioners, and they, you know, take them to countries that are in need of those types of amenities. So at least at this point, we're repurposing the product, but we're trying to get away from that, you know, small single-use plastic element that just plagues the country. I mean, it's, you know, just kind of an embarrassment on many levels. So yeah, that's it. I mean, we have a beautiful garden that we partner with Native Seed Search on. I think that's probably one of the most kind of, you know, what I call cool things, because you get to see this beautiful garden with herbs, spices, edible flowers, produce.
And you can see the chef out there cutting stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like a really cool thing to do.
Yeah.
And I want to tout, as self-serving as it may sound, you have a great green team that's active, that comes with suggestions, that's looking for things, that came and said, you know, maybe another vegan option, or let's get paper that's synthetic paper for the menu so we can cut down there. So I think a green team is important for businesses if you have a big enough business, and I love the stuff they're doing. So we are out of time, and I would love to take this time to say thank you to both of you. Christina, you have been fighting the good fight for quite some time, and you stay in it, and you stay on it, and I'm proud to call you my friend. And Todd, you are a green leader in Tucson, and other restaurants are looking at what you're doing and hopefully will emulate them soon. And let's talk about our July 3rd show. Thomas Fleischner, I heard him speak. He's the executive director of the Natural History Institute in Prescott. And his information that he's going to share will be fascinating, trust me. And then on July 5th, happy day after 4th of July, Carlos Flores from BRAG in Yuma. It's an anti-bullying program building confidence and self-esteem. And to me, all of that has to do with the social justice part of sustainability, because you can't have a sustainable planet without a socially just one. So thanks to both of you for your
time
and for your efforts. Make it a great green day, everybody. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.